What I want to talk about today is faith. We mention faith an awful lot, but that's a topic, my main purpose is to encourage us today, to encourage you in the faith, and to strengthen our faith, to build our faith up, because with the best intentions, it ebbs and flows. Sometimes we think, yeah, great, and sometimes we're down, and we need to get it right sometimes. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says that three things will remain. Everything else will pass away, but three things will remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. But love may be the greatest, but the other two are just crucial as well. They're not separate. Now, obviously, if we haven't got hope, we are hopeless. Right? Unfortunately, a lot of people in this world are hopeless. They haven't got a hope. They haven't got a future to look forward to. If we haven't got faith, we are faithless. Okay, no faith, no belief, no trust. We've got nothing to build our lives, build our hope, build our joy, build our peace upon. So we need faith. Now, it is crucial, right? But there's a warning in here that it says that in the end times, and we're in those now, we are in those now, Jesus told us to look out for certain signs. He says, look out for people who deceive you, for deception. And there's that phrase in the fake news. What else is fake news? It's just pure deception. It's lies. Right? It's lies. False prophets, counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist. Wars, famine, earthquakes, natural disasters. We've just had 2-3 hurricanes that have caused tremendous damage in the States, but also in Philippines. But we're warned that these things will happen. And there'll be an increase in persecution. We are, as Stella said, we're blessed in this country because we can come here on a Sunday and worship and sing and praise. But there's other parts of the world where, no, they are persecuted because of it. But that will increase. And it says, the word says that there will be an increase in wickedness. Right? Matthew 24:12-13, it says, because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Now that frightens me. Will I lose my love for Jesus because of the increase in wickedness? I'd like to think no, right? But that's a warning. But then it goes on to say, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. There's a battle coming. Jesus is coming back. There's a battle coming. And we're in that battle now. And we are encouraged to stand firm no matter what. Stand firm. There's actually an awful lot of references in the Bible to say, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. I'm going to look at some of them because they are wonderful. Right? Luke 21:19. It says, stand firm and you will win life. Now, what does it mean by you will win eternal life? We win life now. Jesus came to give his life abundantly, now and in the future. So you will win life. In 1 Corinthians 16, sorry, Manuel, there's a lot of these. 16:13, it says, be on your guard, right? Stand firm in the faith, be courageous and strong, don't lose heart, don't give up, right? Be courageous and strong. James 5:8 says, be patient, right? Stand firm, don't give in. Ephesians 6:14, stand firm, it says, and then it goes on to talk about putting on the whole armour of God, right? So there are things to protect us, but the main thing is stand your ground, stand firm, stand firm. Mark 13:13 says, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. There's no might, will be saved. And 2 Corinthians 1:21, it says, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. Not in our own strength, it's God that helps us to do it, that makes us do it. We have to put our faith fully, wholly in him. Matthew 10:22, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. It says it again. 2 Corinthians 1:24, and it says, it is by faith that you stand firm. It's our faith that keeps us there. Right? So you think, we need to stand firm in the faith, but it's our faith that keeps us there. It's almost like a catch-22. It goes round and round. The one supports the other, and the support one supports it. It's when you come to realise that whatever situation, you've just got to let that faith support you. Stand firm in the faith. Galatians 5:1 says, stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Right? That yoke of slavery is sin. Jesus died. That's gone. That yoke of slavery has been wiped clean because of Jesus' love for us. He died on that cross to take away our sins. And if we allow that to burden us again, and it comes back onto our shoulders. But Jesus has taken it. Jesus has taken it all away. So he says, stand firm. Don't let yourselves be burdened again. Right? Because we have been burdened. It's gone. Right? Philippians 4:1 says, stand firm in the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Stand firm and hold fast to the teachings. These are the teachings. Hold fast. Hold fast. It doesn't mean quick. It means don't let go. Hold fast to the teachings. Do not let go. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Right? Colossians 4:12. Stand firm in all the will of God. Mature and fully assured. So as we stand firm, we get stronger. We mature. We get fully assured. We have confidence in what God has done for us. Philippians 1:27. Stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. We are united. We have a shared faith. Right? One faith, one baptism, one Lord, one spirit. We share that in common. We have that all in common. But then there's a few words of warning about standing firm as well. The most obvious one, I think, is 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful. Right? Be careful, because if you think you've made it, you're about ready for a topple. It says, be careful that you don't fall. Right? And 1 Peter 5:9 says, resist him. He's talking about the devil. Resist the devil. Stand firm in the faith. Right? So there's a lot of stand firms there. And when I was going through it, and there's more, don't worry, there's more, I thought, there's a message that is desperate. God is desperate to get this message across. Stand firm in the faith. Don't let fall away. Don't let your heart become cold. Don't let your love grow cold. Stand firm. Stand firm. But sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes it's awkward. And sometimes we've got to make sure that we are doing the notice in the back hall. It's 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we've got to not see what's happening in the world. We've got to know what's happening, but don't take it. We've got something better than that. We've got something. We've got to live by faith, not by sight. If we just went on by what we see, it could be quite disappointing, to say the least. Very depressing. So, what is faith? What I'd like us to do is, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 11, chapter 11. It's a whole chapter on faith. And it starts wonderfully with some famous scriptures. I just want to look at a few of them. In verse 1, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, depending on which Bible's using, which translation, sometimes it'll say we have confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Others will be the substance of what we hope for and evidence of what we do not see. There's some slightly different wording, and it's good to look at the different translations, because it gives greater depth to what it is. But essentially it's we are certain of what's going to happen because of what Jesus has done. That's it. There's nothing else. Be certain. There's no doubt. We're certain and sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. Now, I haven't seen God. I haven't seen Jesus. Right? But I'm certain that they are who they say they are. I'm certain that he is the Son of God. I'm certain he died on the cross for me. I'm certain that he was resurrected. I'm certain that he was born of virgin birth. I'm certain that God came to earth as in the form of Jesus through the Holy Trinity. I'm certain that the Holy Spirit was granted and is here now. It's been poured out already. I'm certain of that. But sometimes I just have to reassure myself. And that's what I count as faith. I've got to reassure myself that that's the certain thing that is going to be. It carries on in Hebrews after that first verse. This is what the ancients were commended for. Right? The ancients being the back in time, the forefathers of our faith, the ones who came through Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Noah, all these. These are all commended for their faith, the ancients, going back in history. By faith, it says in verse 3, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. It says in Genesis, right, it says, let there be light. Oh, and there was. At God's command, it just all happened. And the scientists, we mentioned it a little bit on Wednesday, quite a lot of scientists are trying to disprove God and try and prove that the earth was created in lots of different ways. But God clearly says, no, this is my creation, and with it I'm well pleased, he says. I've created it all. So by faith we understand the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So there wasn't anything there before. God created it. It's all created. So there's the first three verses of Hebrews. It sets you on a firm foundation. And I just want to jump to verse 6. Okay. Verse 6 is a message for us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we lose our faith, God's not going to be happy with us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That earnestly bit means desperate. We've got to be desperate. We've got to really go, stop at nothing, to seek him. Nothing else. Right? Now, it was a bit disappointing when we were delivering leaflets this week on this estate. There's an awful lot of houses. It says no cold callers and things like that. It says no religious groups. And you think, these people do not want faith. They haven't got faith. They're rejecting anything. Now, I know what it's like. If somebody like the Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door, I don't know if you're anything like me. I can't remember what I say. They say, do you believe in God? I say, yes. I say, I'm a Christian. And then usually they say, can we give you one of these? I say, no, thank you. And then they leave. But I know some people get into more serious conversations, don't they? Like a challenge, yeah. But I can understand how people don't want that, and they don't want it in their face. But how can you reject a faith? No religious groups, they say. Well, we're not a religious group. We believe in Jesus. Yeah? Religion is doing something by rote. We're not in that. But the world doesn't want faith. And that they're comfortable in what they do. But we know that we've got to have that faith. Without faith, it doesn't work. Faith is crucial. It really is. It protects us. It empowers us. By faith, we accomplish things. And we need to step out in faith. Sometimes we don't. We don't step out because our faith is too small. We need to activate that faith. In Ephesians 6:16, that passage about the armour of God, it talks about faith as a shield. Right? Faith as a shield. Now, last week, Colin was here. Can't really forget him. He tends to be a bit crazy. But he was talking about a shield. And he was talking about a shield being polished and ready for use. Because the shields could be used not only for protection, but they can also be used as a weapon. And in 2 Samuel 1:21, it talks about rubbing the shield with oil. Anointing it with oil, rubbing it with oil to make it shiny. Now, oil normally represents in the Old Testament the Spirit of God. So we need to have that shield of faith, and that oil, the shield of God, keeps it shiny, keeps it ready for use. And it was used then as a weapon to reflect light and sort of put the enemy into dazzle them, to confuse them, put them into disarray and disarm everything. Now, our shield does that too. Our shield, our faith, puts the enemy in disarray. We need to have that faith strong and secure and reflecting the glory of God. In that passage, Ephesians 6, where it talks about the shield of faith, it talks about a shield of faith that dampens the fiery arrows of the enemy. Right? Because sometimes the shield, not only did they polish, sometimes they soaked them. So if an arrow was fired that had was lit, a flaming arrow, as it hit the shield, it would put it out. So it not only protects us and we can use it as a weapon, it protects us and that we can use it as a shield, but also it puts out the arrows of darkness, of the enemy, puts them out. So it's several things. The devil will attack us. Right? We're told that we will be persecuted. Right? But faith is crucial. One of the most important passages in the Bible, Romans 3:28, it says we are justified by our faith. Yeah, justified by our faith. Martin Luther said that we're justified by faith alone, but in my Bible it says we're justified apart from the law. We're justified by faith apart from, but it's the faith that does it. It's faith that saves us. It's our faith. We know it's Jesus that saves us. But it's our faith in Jesus that saves us. Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." Through faith. And it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Right? The faith is, they're all wrapped up together. You can't have faith without hope. You can't have faith and hope without love. They all come together as a package. And it's our faith in God, our faith in Jesus, our faith in the Holy Spirit is what saves us. And it, but also it does more than that. It empowers us. Our faith is there. It keeps us strong. When we've got difficult times, what keeps you strong? Your faith. Your belief that Jesus, that God is bigger than the air we breathe. He really is. And it needs to be built up, because sometimes it goes down. I don't know about you, sometimes your faith goes down. Sometimes on a Sunday morning, you think, oh, do I need to, you know, I've got to go and do this. And there's that old story about the fellow who's, his mum was shouting to him, come on, time to get up, you've got to go. He said, I don't want to go. Come on, time to get up, you've got to go to school. He said, I don't want to go. He said, but you're the headmaster, you've got to go there. Right? And sometimes we all feel like that. They all feel like that. But by faith, we've got to put it into action. And sometimes you just take that step of faith, and the rest follows. It lifts you, it builds you up. It's that supernatural faith, faith to stand firm, and it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. When we've looked at the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about those 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of them is faith. It's the gift of message of knowledge, message of wisdom, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation, tongues. But faith is in there. It's a gift. It's an important gift that we've received from God. Right? All of them are important, but faith, it sustains us and it encourages. And that's what I want to do today, to encourage you. Be strong in your faith. Right? The stronger you are in your faith, right, the blessings will flow. The blessings will flow. Now, Jesus knew that we can only function with faith. Faith is the trigger to what actually makes things happen. To acts, to our testimonies. We act in faith. We have to act in faith. And if you look through the time, the ministry of Jesus, you'll come across so many times when he talks about faith. There are some obvious ones. First one was the two blind men in Matthew 2:29. He said to them, after they'd asked to be healed, he says, according to your faith, will it be done to you? According to your faith. And then they received their sight. The woman with the issue of blood. I remember Ken Stroud coming over here and using that as his main text. But the woman with the issue of blood, she touched Jesus' cloak. That's in Matthew 9:22, but it's also in Luke. And when he found out what happened, he said to her, your faith has healed you. Not I have healed you, your faith has healed you. Right? The centurion that sent to Jesus because his servant was ill, imminently dying, and he says, you just say it and it will happen. Right? Matthew 8:10. And Jesus was astounded. He says, I've not found anyone in Israel with such faith. And he says, then follows it up with, go, it will be done, just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. Now, that's faith, to believe all that happens. The Canaanite woman in Matthew 15:28 was desperate for a daughter to be freed from being possessed by demons. And Jesus, to start with, was not going to have anything to do with her. Right? But she pleaded with him and pleaded with him. And it's that phrase where it says, even dogs can eat the crumbs. It's that phrase that comes up. And he said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. Bang. And her daughter was healed at that very moment. And it's that faith that triggers it. Right? But even the apostles doubted. Their faith weakened. And so we're not in bad company, because the apostles in Luke 17:5-6, they said to the Lord, increase our faith. They knew it's by faith that we activate things. And Jesus replied to them, and this is a lovely thought. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. I don't know about you, but I haven't said to any trees recently, get up and get in the sea. But would it happen? Jesus says it would. If we have enough faith. But he said you don't need to have enough faith, you just need that tiny bit. A mustard seed is tiny, really is. And it grows into the big tree or big bush, but it's tiny. But he says you have that that faith. You can actually say, get up and go for tree. Another example, the 10 lepers. Jesus healed all of them, but only one of them came back to give him thanks. In Luke 17:19, he came back to give thanks, and Jesus says to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. The blind beggar, it's also in Luke 18:42, he received his sight, and Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. And it carries on, Luke 7:50, your faith has saved you, go in peace. He said that to the sinful woman who anointed him at the Pharisee's house, where she poured perfume and washed his feet, and he said, go, your faith has saved you, go in peace, your sins are forgiven, he'd said to her, because of her faith. Right? Your sins are our sins are forgiven because of what Jesus has done, but it's our faith in Jesus that triggers that. It really does. The four men who took their friend who was paralysed, they took him up onto the roof of the house. They couldn't get in. There's so many people crowding around to meet Jesus. They couldn't get him to Jesus, so they took him up on the roof and broke a hole in the roof and lowered him down. And Jesus healed him. Right? And Jesus saw their faith. It says in Mark 2, verse 5, when he saw their faith, that's the faith of these four men, not the person who was paralysed, right? But when he saw their faith, he said to the man, son, your sins are forgiven. And then there's quite a few people saying, who's this? Who's this fellow here who says he can forgive sins? But then in verse 11, he says to him, get up, take your mat and go home. And he did. Got up, took his mat and walked home. And the last one I want to look at here, Matthew 21:21. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, because he'd cursed the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. And verse 22, it carries, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Now, we're not called not to test God, so I don't want to go out to the nearest mountain, which is a long way away, and say, get thrown into the sea. But Jesus is saying, it's faith. It's our faith that triggers all of this. And whatever you ask for in prayer, if you believe, if you have the faith, it will be done. You will receive whatever. And that's it. Amen. Yeah. It's powerful stuff, faith. It's incredibly powerful. But then we're warned again. End times, Luke 18:18. It says, Jesus asked this question. He says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find? Because we've already been told some many will fall away. Right? So when Jesus comes back, in the songs we were singing, he'll come back with shout of acclamation. Right? When he returns, he will return. When he returns, will we still be standing firm? Right? Will we still be standing firm? Right? There are a few occasions in the Bible when people hadn't got the faith, and Jesus actually said to them, you have little faith. He said it a few times. He commended those for having faith. Your faith is healed. According to your faith, you're made well. But he declared it's all by faith. But he pointed out a lack of faith. And if we haven't got faith, it stops us. It limits us. It prohibits us. It doesn't limit God, but it limits what God can do for us. Matthew 14:31, it's that incident where Peter was in the boat and they saw Jesus come in and he got out of the boat. He saw Jesus, jumped out of the boat and started walking towards him. Right? Didn't think of anything else but Jesus, I'm going. Out he got, started walking. It's then that he realised, looked around and he thought, hang on, I'm actually on water. Yeah, I'm on water here and in the real world I can't do this. And guess what? He started to sink. So once we take our eyes off Jesus, once we start to look at our situations, our circumstances, we can start to sink. And Peter said to him, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Now, we've all got doubts. I remember Pastor Paul saying, When you have doubts, doubt the doubt. Does that make sense? It didn't to me at the time, but it does now. Doubt the doubt. It's not from Jesus. Jesus has, why did he doubt? There's no doubt. He is who he says he is. So Peter got out of the boat. I remember when Johnny Skinner came and talked, he said, why did he get out of the boat at all? Because Jesus told him to stay in the boat. So that's another issue. Little faith. He got out of the boat, but he should have stayed in the boat. That's where it's safer. But he walked on water until, as I say, he saw what he was doing. And then the other one is where the apostles were in a boat and the storm was raging and they thought it was going, and Jesus was sleeping. And then Jesus said to them after they'd woke him up, he said, you have little faith, are you so afraid? And he rebuked the wind and calmed the sea and the storm, and it was fine again. Put your trust in him. That's what our faith is, put trust in it. Because without faith, it doesn't happen. And the other classic one is in Matthew 13:58, where Jesus was talking about his hometown. Now, we know he was born in Bethlehem, but his hometown where he grew up was Nazareth. And when he was in Nazareth, it says, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. It wasn't him, it was the people, their lack of, because they knew who he was. Hometown boy, grew up there, they'd seen him. Is this the Son of God? No, he's Joseph's son. They didn't believe. They had a lack of faith. It's not possible. And so Jesus didn't do many miracles. It didn't say he didn't do any, it said he didn't do many miracles. And when doubt creeps in, our faith diminishes. When we look at the situation, look at the circumstances, and say, this isn't possible, I can't do this, I can't walk on water, we sink. Right? But we're limiting our faith. We're limiting the power of faith, and it's limited by our minds, it's limited by our flesh, it's limited by our spirit, not God's spirit, by our spirit, and we put limits. And as I say, we're not on our own. The disciples said, increase our faith. Doubt does creep in. But the good news is, God is not limited. He is not limited. Right? And unless we put limits on him, he's not limited by our lack of faith, our lack of belief, by our unbelief. And I do remember very clearly once, I was passenger in a car and we passed somebody who was disabled. And they were walking, but not very well. And there was quite a lot, you could see there was lots of disabilities. And the person who was driving said, what's to stop us stopping the car, getting out and praying for this person now and asking them to be healed? And they stand up straight and walk away. And we didn't. We just carried on. And the reason we didn't is quite simply we didn't have the faith. We didn't have the faith. Right? Because you think, oh, that can't happen. That won't happen. If I pray for this person, their leg's not going to extend by another 6 inches. Their neck's not going to straighten up. I didn't have the faith for that. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't do it. I should have done. And how many times do we think, oh no, I'll walk away from that situation, when we can do something about it? Maybe not ourselves, but God can, because he's not limited. We don't need to put limits on God. We need to have that faith. We need to act with faith. And things happen. Things happen. The whole of chapter 11 in Hebrews is about by faith. By faith this was done. By faith this was done. Some of the things it talks about is putting faith into action. Abel and Cain were Adam's first sons. And Cain offered a sacrifice to God. Abel offered. But Abel offered a better sacrifice, it says. And he was commended as righteous. His faith. He said, I'm going to give this to God. His faith made him righteous. Enoch. His faith was so great. Right? It pleased God. So he was taken up into heaven. Right? He was taken up into heaven. He didn't die. He was taken to heaven. Noah, by faith, when God said to him, build a boat, he built one. It took him years and years and years, and everybody was laughing at him, saying, how stupid you are. It hadn't rained then, as far as I know. So he said, there's going to be a flood. Stupid Noah, go and build your boat somewhere else. But by faith, he built that boat, and he and his household were the only ones that were saved. Everything else had flooded, because God had had enough of the people. And So by faith Noah built his boat. Abraham, we call him Father Abraham, right? Because he's the father of those who believe, those who have faith, right? But Abraham had faith. He had faith to go to the promised land when God told him to. He had faith that he was going to have a son despite being 100 years old. He didn't say, oh no, that's not possible. He had faith. And when God said, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as many as the sand on the seashore, he didn't doubt it. He had faith. Yep, I have faith that I've got. And when God said to him, sacrifice your son Isaac, he had faith. He was going. He was doing it. He was about to do it. But God gave him a ram in his place. He gave him a place. And it's all by faith. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. And by faith, Jacob blessed Joseph and Joseph's sons. Joseph, when he was in Egypt, it was by faith that he blessed and he spoke about the Exodus. By faith, it all came through. Moses, by faith, he left Pharaoh's safety, really, the sanctuary there, and he went to be with the Hebrews. And by faith, he brought the people out of Egypt, because he went back to Moses and said, God says, let my people go. And by faith, they were released, because the plagues came. They didn't know what was going to happen, right? It could have all gone wrong, but by faith, they knew God was in control. By faith, the Red Sea, boom, was parted so they could pass through. And then coming into the Promised Land, by faith, the walls of Jericho collapsed, right? Rahab, by faith, she believed God. She had faith in God, so she helped the spies. And that was a key time in settling into the Promised Land. And there are many others. Samson, by faith, he got his tremendous strength. Gideon was a mighty warrior, but he shouldn't have been. He was from the lowest of the low. He wasn't anything special. But God made him a mighty warrior because he said he would. David, King David, was the least of all his brothers. He was a tiny little shepherd boy. His brothers, when you looked at them, would have been more fitting to be king of Israel than David. But God said, he's the one. He's the one. Right? And by faith he came there. I know he did things wrong. He got it wrong, but his heart was after God's. Samuel, Daniel, all the prophets, all the trials, all the push, they suffered through them all by faith. All by faith. And it's this faith that is so strong. It's by faith these things were done, and it's faith in God that these ancients were commended for, and it was credited to them as righteousness. Now, that still exists now. That's still today. These are all things that happened in the Old Testament, but it means actually that still exists today. God's the same today, forever. He hasn't changed, and so we can still be credited as righteous because of our faith. And that's it. We're credited as righteous. We're holy by faith in God, by faith in Jesus, because he's done it. Jesus went to the cross. His sacrifice atoned for our sins. And by faith, we receive that grace. Now, it sounds so simple, but it is. But you've got to believe it. By faith, we have salvation. By faith, we have confidence. We're more than conquerors. By faith. But it's not faith in us. We've got to get the balance right. It's faith in Christ in us. Faith in Christ in us. Now the apostles, they say, they asked Jesus, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And so I found myself asking, well, we need to increase our faith. So how do we increase our faith? And again, it's relatively straightforward. Pray for it. Pray for faith. It says, whatever you ask for in prayer, you'll get it. Right? So pray for faith. Pray for increased faith. Go to the Word. It really builds your faith up. Worship God. One of our motto, as Paul said this morning, is we exist to love and worship God. Love and worship God. If we love God, we worship Him. Right? And that builds your faith. Right? If you build your faith, then He can use us. He can use us for His purposes. Right? We need to praise God, we need to pray to God, we need to meditate upon His Word. Lots and lots of things. And be filled with His Holy Spirit. Because it's His Holy Spirit that will empower us. So pray for the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit for a while, if you haven't ever been filled with the Holy Spirit, pray for it. Pray for it. It will empower you. And it will give you courage and it will equip you to put your faith into action. Now, we're putting faith into action. We're praying for souls to be saved on this estate. Right? And we can pray for souls to be saved in our families. Right? But then we've got to do something. As Colin said last week, it's no good having your shield if you're not going to polish it. We've actually got to do something. We've got to step out into faith. We've got to speak to them. We've got to invite them in. Invite people into here. Because whatever they need to hear the word of God. Right? If you don't hear the word of God, you don't get the faith. It doesn't come. It comes. It goes out. So we have to do things. Right? There's a chapter in James, James 2. It's all about faith and deeds. And the two go together. Right? We can't earn our place in eternal life. We can't earn our place in heaven. It's faith that gets us there. But once we've got faith, we've got to do things. We can't just sit on it, which is... I think Paul mentioned bury it in the sand. We've got to do something. We can't bury the gospel in the sand. We've got to use it. We've got to go out. And James says faith without deeds is dead. Right? So our faith dies if we don't do something with it. We've got to do something with it. And he says quite simply, keep the royal law. The royal law, as soon as Paul mentioned Sandringham, right? The royal law. And the royal law is simple. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love your neighbour as yourself. And put it into action. Be doers of the word as well as hearers of the word. And so I'm coming to a close now, but I just want to encourage you. There's one of the apostles, Barnabas. He was called the son of encouragement. I'd love to have heard him. He must have been, to get that title, he must have been something special. He must have been really awesome in encouraging people. He's in Acts 4, 36. That we're called to encourage each other. Right? Romans 1:12 says, be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Somebody who's strong in the faith, it strengthens me. If I see their faith, it helps me. It does encourage me. Romans 1:17 says, the righteous will live by faith. You've got to live it. Not just speak it, you've got to live it. And what I was saying earlier, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And as a result, what we're going to get if we hear the word of Christ, if we have faith, 1 Peter 1:9, you are receiving the goal of your faith. You're going to get the goal of your faith, right? The salvation of your soul. That's what we're aiming for. Right? 1 John 5:4, it says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. It's our faith that conquers the world. So when we're going around the estate and it says no religious groups, we still put letters in, right? Because we thought, no, they've got to hear. You've got to hear. It conquers the world, right? And we've got people coming in. Now, whether it was one that had a cold call, no cold call or something, I don't know. Right? But Jude 1:20 says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. And Paul reminds us that what our faith is all about, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He said in Romans 3:25, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Jesus has done it, and we've just got to have faith that his blood washes us clean. And Paul carries on in Ephesians 4:13. He's talking about what we call the ministry gifts of Christ. Right? And it says it was he, Christ, this is, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. Right? Now, we're all ministers. We're all called to be ministers. But why did Jesus give these gifts? Why did he? It's quite simple. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So we need to build each other up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attain to the whole measure of Christ. Now, we're not there yet, but that promise is there so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith. Right? Unity in the faith. So it's an encouragement. Keep going. Stand firm. Right? And then Paul reminds us that He says, I have been, in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. We have this, I see it as quite simple. There's me and there's Christ. Now, the me has got to go lower and lower. Right? Christ has got to get bigger and bigger. Right? And there's almost a battle going on between me, and I've got to crucify me and let Christ live in me. And it's daily. We do that daily. We need to repent daily. But Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's such great love that he was willing to go to the cross for me, and for you, and for everyone. He was willing to go to the cross, so that we can, by faith, receive the gift of eternal life. It's amazing. It is truly amazing. And all we have to do is pass it on. Pass it on. And you think, why can't I do that? And why am I scared? Why am I frightened to pass it on? Because self creeps up. Oh, I can't do that. No, that's not me. I can't do that. Yeah. But God can. I can't, but God can. So I'd like to close there. I just want to encourage your faith. And so if you close your eyes and bow your heads with me, you just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much, that you gave us your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And Lord, we just thank you for that faith we have in Jesus. Just build our faith, we pray. We thank you that he went to the cross. We thank you that he died on that cross. We thank you that his blood was shed for our forgiveness. And Lord, every day, Lord, we just ask that you'll give us that faith to know that we are co-heirs with your Son Jesus. You love us so much that you put us in that position, that the joy that was set before him is for us too. So Lord, we just come to you now in Jesus' mighty name and ask you to increase our faith, we pray, through your Son Jesus Christ.